Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he's loved us, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then at the end of that chapter, it says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Father, we thank you for your word. May it have a good place in our heart, in the soil of our heart, to grow up and mature us, to change us, the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak. Father, as I minister the word today, Lord, I just ask God that you would use me. Father, it's not important what I think. It's what's important is what you want to say. And so speak to your church by your Holy Spirit. Lead and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 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 You may be seated. Praise the name of the Lord. Before I get going this morning, I want us to keep in mind this week that we would continue to pray for Israel, pray for our nation as well.
Yes.
The Word of God declares we're in that election season. It seems like there's a lot of tension in the air. The Word of God tells us to pray for kings and all those in authority over us so that we would lead a quiet and peaceable life. And the reason why we're supposed to do that is because the gospel needs peace in order to go forth easily. And so we pray for peace. And so we pray for peace in the Middle East. We pray for God's peace, for Israel, for the protection of Israel, and for the protection of any innocent life. And so we want to keep that in mind this week as we pray. The Jewish folks are celebrating one of their holidays. Rosh Hashanah, I believe it is. And so we want to pray for them as well. But I want to just ask you to take that on as a prayer assignment, that you pray for our nation and that you pray for the Middle East. Specifically, you can pray for Israel. You can pray for Palestine. It is important that God doesn't want any to perish. And I think that that's important for us to know as believers. He doesn't want any to perish, but he wants all to come to know the knowledge of the truth. And so we continue to hold that and pray for that. So continue to do that if you would, please. All right. So we've been talking about the book of Ephesians. Now, last week I thought I was pretty much finished, but I don't think I was. And so if it's all right with you, we're going to revisit it for a couple of moments because I think there's still some truths out there. We were in Ephesians 6 last week, Ephesians chapter 6. And we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and the title of this series has been a fresh look at the book of Ephesians. And the reason why I wanted us to look at this entire book is that the themes that are brought out in this book have to do with maturing the believer. It has to do with maturing the body of Christ. And if you'll notice in this book, you will also see the themes of unity, the themes of maturity. You will also see even relationships, how to conduct relationships, husbands and wives, children and parents. We see that in this book, there is so much rich content, and we've been looking at it with the lenses of what's God's part, G, remember that? The second one was, what is our response to what God has done? This is the tool that God just kind of bubbled up inside of me, that every time we read this book, or you can use this tool pretty much in any scripture, what has God done? What's our response? What kind of obstacles do we need to overcome? Sometimes the obstacle is our thinking. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's what we're thinking about. It's what we're meditating on. And so I was kind of humming that over in my heart, you know. The word tells us that when you meditate or ruminate, it comes from It comes from a Greek word that cows chew, and I'm not trying to be gross here, but they chew, swallow it, bring it back up, chew, swallow it, bring it back up, chew, swallow it, bring it back up. And so that's when we meditate on the Word of God, that's what we need to do. We need to actually take it in. What does the Word of God, what's it saying to me right now? What obstacles, what is God's part? What's my response to God's part? What obstacles do I need to overcome? And how is this going to affect my witness? How is this going to affect what people see in me? Yep. What they actually see in me? You know, I've said this in this series. One of the greatest compliments you could give to somebody is, I see Jesus in you. I see Jesus in you. What was Paul's prayer? That I may decrease and that he would increase. That people wouldn't see him as the great apostle Paul, but they would see Christ in him, the hope of glory. Last week when I was talking about the Romans centurion's armor, so you're there in Ephesians chapter 6, so let's go ahead and go there. When I was talking about the armor, I mentioned to you that the helmet of salvation was a very visual part of what the Roman soldier would be wearing. Many times, depending on their level of battle prowess, whether or not they've achieved certain tactical skills, they would have feathers, plumes, horsehair. It would be red in color. It would be striking, and it was meant to intimidate. It was that's like a warrior coming. It was meant to intimidate. From a distance, that they would see there would be these warriors coming because their helmet could be seen. I believe that Christians should be known. We don't hide in the shadows. We should be known. Now, there are places in this world that we've talked about where Christians do hide. And now what I mean by that is they're hiding to worship, right? But I'm talking about, we don't hide who we are with our behavior. Do you hear me? So we don't like blend in so well with the world that they don't even know. That I look no different than the heathen that I work with. That I look no different. That my speech, what I say, sounds no different. It sounds just like anybody else. If I get in the habit of saying curse words, my mouth should not ever have curse words in it. And I know there are Christians that have potty mouth. They're Christians, but they have potty mouth. And they need to change that. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says that we present our body. That includes our mouth, right? That includes our mouth. We present our body as what? A living sacrifice. Romans 6 is where, I'm not, what am I saying, Romans 6? Ephesians 6, where we are right now. Let's look at the verse that talks about the helmet of salvation in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the helmet of salvation, that marked feature about you, that people should know that you are different, that you are saved, that you are a child of God. The word Christian is not just about religion. It's about, the word Christian actually was meant, originally, it was meant to be a slur. It was meant to be a name that people called Christians. Oh, they're Christ-like ones. Well, what was Jesus like? See, that's like when the world and the secular society starts teasing you because of your moral stance, because of your righteous stance. Oh, Doug doesn't laugh at the dirty joke. He's a goody-goody. Right? I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be in a secular employment and be mocked, be ridiculed, be spoken behind my back, sometimes even sabotaged. I worked a job in college that I was sabotaged. My recent employment, a young man who just last year gave his heart to Christ and had left the company, he called me up and he said, I owe you an apology. He said, man, people would talk about you behind your back, and I used to join in with them. He said, but I needed to call you to tell you that I saw Jesus in you. I don't say that to puff myself up. I say that because who you are when no one's looking, when you're not at church, when you're not around your Christian friends, that's who we need to be. That helmet of salvation, this is where I felt like I needed to camp a little bit more about the helmet of salvation, about the sword of the Spirit. Not to bring condemnation to anybody. If that's you, you can change it that quick.
Okay, that's right.
And God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. He loves you. He wants you to live at a different level with that helmet on your head. Proudly. Why? Because that's a protection of your mind. You don't let things get in that shouldn't be in. So that nobody's going to talk you out of your faith. I'm really tired of hearing about people that grow up in the church and then just totally turn away from the faith. Sometimes even people that have been to Bible school. I don't like hearing that. Because I say, what happened? What happened that you didn't protect your mind? You didn't protect the eye gate, the ear gate. You allowed stuff to come in. You didn't use the grow method, okay? You didn't know who you were in Christ. Who you were in Christ. I am so thankful for Jan and Lee Kaiser. When I was a kid, pumping the In Him realities. I am so thankful for Ed Elliott, who's one of our missionaries, pumping the In Him realities. I am so thankful that Kenneth Hagin wrote a book called In Him that changed my life and continues to change my life when I am reminded again and again and again who I am in Christ. So that when the enemy comes whispering to me, he's got to come near my helmet. He's got to come near my helmet. I've had some battles. I don't know if there's markings on it, spiritually speaking, or not. And I'm not trying to build a doctrine. But when he sees me, he's got to know. He's got to know that I have used the sword of the Spirit on him. That I have been through some battles. He may have knocked me down sometimes. But he has not knocked me out.
Amen.
He has brought discouragement to me, but I have never, never walked away. There have been times that I say I walk with the Lord, but he's dragged me. You won't see two footprints in the sand. You'll see a body dragging through the sand sometimes. Now, if we're honest, most of us are like that. We've had those moments. Anybody in here? You can relate. Okay, and just because I stand in the office of a pastor does not mean that I don't have opportunity. I am a believer first. And so there are those moments you wake up and you go, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Right? You feel that. You feel it. But you tap back in. You go back to those In Him realities. You go back to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, you can turn there quickly or write it in your Bible. It says this. It says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God will actually, when you allow it, it will cut stuff out of you. If you've got potty mouth, the Word of God will help get rid of it. If you will allow it, as you renew your mind by the what? By the washing and the water of the Word of God will cleanse you. The Word of God will take that wrong thinking out. You know, and I was meditating on this idea. You know, I'm around technology all the time, literally all the time. And there'll be software updates, and software updates will fix things that are wrong sometimes. Sometimes there'll be a software update that's released for a piece of hardware. Okay. And I know Reverend Ennis works in technology as well. So sometimes there'll be a software update that actually fixes a problem that the hardware had. And I started thinking and meditating on it. I said, you know, Lord, I know that I'm saved. The spirit man is saved. But I'm dragging around flesh. It's one of those obstacles.
Yes.
I'm dragging around flesh. I'm dragging around flesh that needs to be crucified, as the Apostle Paul says. It needs to be put under.
Yes.
It needs to be put under. The spirit man is the real me. But I'm walking around with sometimes stinking thinking. And I need an update. I need an update. I need an update, even though there's a flaw in my hardware. Because my hardware is actually hardwired to the sin nature. But my mind is being renewed by the Spirit of God. I'm getting an update, right? Because any man who is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's a total reboot. Okay? But you still got this flesh that you're carrying around. So I actually did some research, and I really dug in here, and I said, can a software update overcome a flaw and a problem with hardware? And the answer came back, yes. It can be mitigated. It can be, actually, it gets worked around. And so when we renew our thinking by the Word of God, remember, we've got the helmet of salvation on. We've got that protection on our head. If we'll understand and apply it to our life. I am a Christian. So if somebody wants me to do something that's not a standard of Christ, I can say, no, thank you. I don't have to be mean. In fact, I just want to urge Christians, quit being mean. Quit being mean. Looking like you've been baptized with lemons. Quit being mean. We should be known as the most happy, joyful, I mean, just peaceful people. In fact, in the countries that Christians are persecuted the most, that's what they're known for. That's what they're known for. They're not known for, being just as mean as the world on social media.
Amen.
Okay. So, salvation, we need to update all. When you get that little thing on your, just go ahead and update. Just update everything. Lord, update me. If you need to reboot me, if you need to scrub my operating system and put a new one in, please do. When we're thinking on the wrong things, right? So, back to the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Last week I talked to you how in the Roman Legion of the time, first century Christians, they would train all day long with their sword. They would train for 8 hours. And they were trained not to just slice through something. One pass and then done. Because what that did was, according to the ancient text that was written on training Roman soldiers, what that would do is that would just superficially wound somebody. And that they knew that if they could just stab and get their blade into the flesh, I'm not trying to be gross, if they could get it into the flesh just 2 to 3 inches multiple times and keep stabbing, and they would work on these mannequins that were solid wood. They would do that for hours because they needed to penetrate the enemy's armor. They needed to go in and constantly be on the offensive. They were physically fit. As people say, they were jacked. They were physically fit because they were not just swinging a sword. They were plunging a sword into a fake dummy 8 hours a day. And yet, sometimes Christians won't even pray for 3 minutes. As I was meditating on some of these things, I felt like the Spirit of God just reminded me, and you're there in Ephesians, reminded me that in verse 18 it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. I was reminded that when it comes to prayer, it's not just one type of prayer, but it's many. It's many types of prayer. And we've got to learn those types of prayer, just like a Roman soldier would need to know his battle plans. He would also need to know what his weapons were capable of. He had a lance that was meant for long distance attacks, where he could inflict damage on the enemy. And then he had something up close. I mentioned to you that, you know, a couple years back, my son and I took Krav Maga, and that's the Israeli martial arts. That actually means close combat. Get close to the person that is trying to attack you. And you're like, what? That sounds like opposite. It is to get close so that you can inflict damage. And that was the whole point behind that form of self-defense, if you will. To get close, neutralize the enemy. This was all the teaching in Krav Maga. If somebody comes to you, you neutralize the enemy from hurting you and somebody else. So you were actually instructed to hurt them bad enough that they are just sitting there, neutralized. So the Roman soldier was training with that sword, not just to inflict superficial damage on his enemy, but to actually neutralize his enemy to the point of either death or he no longer can fight. Now, the enemy's strategy on us is that very same thing. That's why in this series I told you that our loins are girded about with what? Truth. That our loins, that part of our body, is where reproduction takes place, and that's what the enemy wants to do, is he wants to stop reproduction. Stop people from coming to Christ. Stop you from ever leading somebody to Christ. Do you see the strategy that the enemy is trying to set up here? The word tells us, and you're there in the same chapter, go over to verse 12, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, verse 12, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we understand that our struggle is not against people. It never is against people. You might think it is, but it's not against people. It's against the spirits that are behind what's going on. And so we come against those with what? Truth. The belt of truth. We come against those, not only with that, but with, if you look at what the word tells us, that the breastplate of righteousness, who we are in Christ, verse 14, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the gospel of peace, the gospel of peace, the gospel of peace is shalom, nothing broken, nothing missing. You will inflict damage on the enemy if you're willing to step out in faith and actually speak the goodness of God to people who are outside. They don't know any better. When we get so upset and so self-righteous about, well, those people are behaving so terribly. When you start talking about those people are part of the human race, people that Jesus died for. God loves the Muslim terrorist as much as he loves the people who come to this church. And when we actually grasp that the blood of Jesus is effective to cleanse anyone if they will just call on him. So when we have those feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, those are offensive weapons to literally kick the enemy to the curb and cause him to reel in pain. That the shield of faith, when we work with each other and not independently, not just me and Jesus. There are times for me and Jesus. And there needs to be those times for me and Jesus. But there needs to be we and Jesus. Because more of us can do so much more in the body of Christ. There is a body to understand. To discern the body is to understand that there are different parts of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. All right, so praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and being watchful. You need to be aware of the enemy's tactics. And as you are aware of them, you can actually do battle with the enemy. And the Bible tells us that we always triumph in Christ Jesus. We always triumph in Christ Jesus. It may not look like it now, but if you just hang on, the end of the book, we always win. We always win. We're better than the Yankees. We always win. Always. Always. You guys, you didn't get that. I guess you got it. Not a great joke. Okay, Pastor, we'll try again. All right. Praise God. Next week. All right. So this morning, we're getting ready to have communion. And I want you to tie some of this together with me as we prepare. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says this. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Through us, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. When a conquering leader in first century Rome would lead the procession of triumph, there were flowers, there was a parade. The enemy was marched in chains, defeated, stripped to nothing, humiliated. And the leader would be walking them through the streets in triumphant procession. You would smell the flowers. It would be a celebration like nothing else because the enemy has been defeated. I want to tell you, believer, the enemy has been defeated.
Amen.
You say, but what about all this battle, Pastor? What about all this warfare? We still have a part to play. We still have to enforce the victory that Jesus wrought. But I have to tell you, he's still the victor. Has nothing to do with just, well, it's just me. No, no. You can do battle with the enemy, but understand you always win. He has to bow to the name of Jesus. He has to. The name of Jesus is everything. And when we come to this place of communion, if you're watching it online or you're not able to make it with us, if you can get maybe some juice and a piece of bread or a cracker, I invite you to participate with us. This is open communion. We do not make you be a member here. We do ask that you be a member of His church. And you say, what is that? Have you received Christ into your life? Have you been born again? And if you can say, I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for my sins, that He was raised from the dead, and you confess Him as your Lord and Savior, if you have done that, then I invite you to just partake with us. In just a moment, we're going to have the symbols, the elements passed out to us. But I wanted to just kind of tie this together with where we're at with this GROW series. The book of Ephesians talks about reconciling Jews and Gentiles. Do you know that's a current topic, isn't it? Think about it with what's going on in the Middle East right now. Breaking down dividing walls of hostility. What about our own nation? What about what's going on right now? In communion, we celebrate Jesus' sacrifice, and it unites us all, regardless of our race, of our status, and it calls us the family of God. So when you're looking in the book of Ephesians, it will actually remind you that we're part of the same household, the family of God. Ephesians 2:19 says we're part of that family. So as we take communion today, we're not only going to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, but we are also going to reflect where we are. What's going on in our life right now? We're going to reflect just what is it that is happening in my life? God, what do you need me to respond to you with? Because you've done all these things. So when we partake of communion and we're actually remembering what Jesus did, we are reflecting about where we're at. What is our relationship with God like right now? Not what it was, you know, yesterday, last week, or when we first got saved. But what's our relationship right now? Right now. So we're reflecting on that right now. And then our response to that would be, is it a reaffirmation? If you can say, listen, I've been walking with God and I'm okay. I'm good. Me and Jesus are good. How are you with the rest of the body? How are you with your brother and sister in Christ? How are you with your family? How are you with that difficult person? So you're reflecting and you're actually asking yourself, wait a second, where am I at in this? And then ask yourself, can people see Jesus in me? Do they see my helmet? Do they see my helmet? Or do they see me as just one of the mean Christians? These are questions we ask ourselves in time of reflection when we receive communion. And then at this table, we understand there is victory. There is victory because there is always a chance to reaffirm your commitment with Christ, to get things right with Him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteous acts or thoughts. When we understand that unrighteousness, it's not who we are as believers, but perhaps some of our actions were unrighteous, right? A little bit of the shine off our helmet came off. Maybe we were laughing at that joke we shouldn't have. Maybe we were looking at something online we shouldn't have looked at. Maybe we are tainted by the world. And God is saying to us, listen, just give it to me. I got it. Because what Jesus did on the cross was to take care of sin once and for all. So put it under the blood, confess that sin, and get it right with Him. And so when we're looking at this table, This is a table of victory. It's a table of provision. Perhaps as you're looking back on what Jesus did and reflecting on where you are, maybe you have a burden. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you've been wounded in the battle and you're like, Lord, I need that healing of my heart. Because the enemy, maybe he got one of his fiery darts to stick in you. Maybe the enemy is coming up to you and he sees your helmet, but he's still whispering, and you call yourself a Christian. Famous line, right? So perhaps that's happening to you. But I want to tell you, at this table, you can be free. At this table, you can reaffirm the goodness of God. At this table, you can join back in that triumphant procession that in Christ, we always have victory. That we let him lead us in that victory, all because of what Jesus did. As my mentor, Dr. Horace Ward, used to say, I have a feeling everything's going to be all right. In him, it's most certainly is going to be all right. Amen. So let's pray. And let's prepare to receive these elements. If you need healing in your body, if you need something, as we partake today, you need a breakthrough in your life. You need restoration. Whatever it is you need, today when we partake, just receive it. Because anything you need at this table, it's there for you. It's a table of provision. It's a table of victory. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for these symbols. We thank you, Father God, they are set apart. Set apart for this time. That as we partake of the bread and of the cup, Lord, I thank you that this covenant meal, Lord, that you bring wholeness, that you bring help, you bring healing, you bring every provision manifested right now. In the name of Jesus to your people, those that are watching, those that may watch after the fact, Lord, that there would be healing, there would be breakthrough, there would be help that only comes from you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Right now, if we can just serve the people, once you get the elements in your hand, we will go ahead and we will partake together. Praise God.